Well, I'm excited to share with you this morning. I believe that God has a word for you today to encourage you. We have three services on a Sunday in our church. You hear me say this lots of times, but the first service starts at 8:30 on Sunday mornings, and it's a time of prayer just in our multi-purpose room. And we've just been having some amazing times of prayer there. More and more people are coming to it, and the fervency in prayer has just been awesome. And there was just such a fervency in there this morning, and just such a real sense of the presence of God. And we had a powerful first service, and I believe that God is going to really encourage you this morning. I'm going to just tell you right now, at the end of the message today, I'll make sure I'm done in good time, but at the end of the message today, we're going to have an opportunity to just receive some prayer and to respond to the message. And so I just sort of feel in my heart this morning that I just sort of need to get it out and get out of the way and let God just do what He wants to do. What I have to share with you today is really simple. Most of my messages are simple. That's all I know how to do is preach simple, because I need simple in order to understand myself, okay? So I'm just speaking to you at the level that I can understand. But today is especially simple, but what I'm sharing with you, I think, is powerful and it's foundational. I want to talk to you today about taking control of your stress. Taking control of your stress. How many of you could do a better job of controlling your stress? Can I see a show of hands here this morning? Am I the only one? Okay, some of you are liars. But we all could do better, I think, at taking control of our stress. And I want to talk to you about this topic this morning, not because it was my brilliant idea, quite frankly, but at our Global Impact Celebration, one of the things that we do on the Friday morning is we have a time just with our partners to sort of speak into their lives, encourage them, pray with them, and it's just sort of dedicated to them, and we invite our pastoral staff to come and be a part of it. And so this time we had my father speak sort of the exhortation to them. And my dad, the title of his message was Overcoming Stress in the Ministry. And of course, when you've been in the ministry as long as my dad has and are still lasting and still going strong, you wanna learn from him. And we did. And it was a great time. In fact, some of the partners said that session was the most powerful thing for them in the entire weekend. And so this week I was, you know, sometimes I know exactly where I'm going, and then lots of times I have no clue where we're going. And that's kind of where I was on Monday, going, all right, Global Impact Celebration's done. It's time for a new series. What are we going to do? I don't have one just burning in me necessarily. And when I just started throwing it out to our pastoral staff and a few others, the feedback I kept getting was, man, that message that your dad did on stress was so good. And I started thinking about that and went, you know what? It was good. And so I asked my dad, can I borrow a little bit from it? I feel like I want to do a series on taking control of your stress. And so I'm going to borrow a few ideas, and a lot of it will be my own as well. And he did in one session what I'm hoping to do over a few weeks. He's just better at it than me. It takes me longer to get it out, I guess. But I started, you know, when I heard that session, it helped me. And I can tell you that as a pastor, there is a lot of stress in the ministry, and I really experienced it for the first time 9 years ago. It's been almost 9 years since I've been the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. And I remember that very first month of being on the job. It was September, and the official service, the transition service, was going to be happening in October, but the transition had happened already. It had happened as of September, and I was speaking at this camp in Manitoba. We have a LifeLinks church, several of them in Manitoba, and I was speaking at this camp. I had spoke at it two or three times before. I guess they liked me because they kept having me back, and I enjoyed going. It was in a beautiful spot, a nice lake there, just about an hour away from Winnipeg. And, you know, lots of young families that, you know, my age that I could relate with. So I really liked this church and really enjoyed going. But this year, as I was heading to the camp, I didn't have the same enthusiasm. I really didn't want to do it. I didn't really want to go. I was kind of almost regretting that I had said that I would come back again. And so I didn't go into it with the best attitude. Got there, preached my sermons, and it was having a good time, but not like in previous years. And each night it was getting harder and harder to preach the sermon. I less and less wanted to do it. And finally on Sunday morning, the kind of the final morning of the thing, I got up that day and I just said to Angela, I really don't want to do this today. In fact, I don't know if I can. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, I just don't know if I can do it. Why? What's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. All I know is I don't want to do it. I don't have any passion for this. I don't feel like I can do it. I just want to jump in a car and drive as far away as I possibly can where nobody knows my name and nobody has any expectations of me, where I can just blend into the crowd and disappear. That's all I want to do right now. And she said, well, you better snap out of it because you don't have a choice. And I said, I know I don't have a choice. And so I said, but I don't know if I can do it. So I said, you better leave me alone. You better leave me alone. I'll try and get this thing figured out. And so, I mean, she didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on with me. And so I closed the door in the room. I'm trying to pray. It's very hard to pray. I'm not feeling anything. And other than I just all these thoughts, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And next thing I knew, I could hear the music starting and the worship was beginning to play. And one song, two song, three song, and I'm still in my room. I keep going to the door and going, I can't do this. And going back and thinking, I don't know if I can get out of this room. And then I'm thinking, if you don't get out of this room, they're going to be calling for you. And then what are you going to say? And you've got to do this. And so eventually I went, I got to do this. And so I grabbed my notes and I hadn't even gone over them or anything. I couldn't even focus on them. And I walked down the hallway and it was basically, I get in there and I can see the pastor's turning around. He's looking for me. Where is the speaker? You know, and I kind of come in from the back and like a grand entrance, I guess. I don't know, but if they only knew, right, what was going through my brain. And so I got up there and by the sheer act of my will, I got through my sermon, and thank God I write almost every word of my sermons out because I basically read it, so I had something to say because my mind was just going 1,000 different directions. God helped me. People thanked me for it. I didn't feel it was very good. Got into the car, said, Angela, let's get out of here as fast as we can. I just want to go home, and we were driving home, and so she's like, Joel, what is going on with you? I'm kind of fighting back the tears. I don't know what's going on with me, And then all of a sudden, I just said these words to her. I said, I feel trapped. And she says, what do you mean? And I'm like, what do I mean? I feel this trap, like the world's closing in on me. And then I said to her, I think it's the weight. I think it's the weight of what I've done. I said, yes. I said that I would be this pastor of Harvest City Church, and all the pressure of it is coming on me, and all these thoughts of, can I do this? Do I really have what it takes? I've never been to Bible school, you know, I felt these expectations, whether they were true or not. I felt these expectations that I, you know, I had to be this young and dynamic leader who was going to be a part of leading Harvest City Church to infinity and beyond, to the next levels, you know, of, you know, building on the shoulders of the previous generation, and, you know, and going, I don't know if I can do this, and people think I can do this, and they believe in me more than I can believe in myself, and realizing I had said yes and there was no way out. I was stuck. And feeling like, you know, it's like, well, why did it come out at the conference? Well, because when you're the guest speaker and things, and you've got to act like you got it all together, and you got to have the good smile, and you're always on, and they're watching your kids, and they're watching you, and they're watching everything about you, and you're just always on. It's the ministry. It's the ministry. I didn't want to be on. I wanted to be off. But there's no off switch. You can't flip it back once you flipped it. And that's what I was feeling. And the stress of it hit me. I got home that week and my dad said, "How are you doing?" I think he could maybe see something I wasn't doing so great. And I said, I'm not doing great. And so I just kind of shared with him what I was feeling. And I said, "Dad, I feel like a young calf or like a young deer, like I've seen before, where they're first born and they try to stand up and their legs twist and they stumble and they fall and they sit there on the ground and the mother's kind of nudging them. They got to get them moving, but they don't think they can move. They can move. They just have to learn how to carry the weight." And that was where I was in. And my dad was saying to me, "You can do it. You're just going to have to learn how to carry the weight. You'll learn." Well, here we are 9 years later by the grace of God. And I feel like I'm still learning how to carry the weight. My legs don't buckle like they used to most days. Some days they do. But there's an understanding and you kind of learn how to do it. Yet I can say to you that as my dad was preaching to us on Friday and talking about stress in the ministry, I was feeling like, "God, I've got so much further to go in this. I got so much further, and I have this passion. I don't want to go out with a whimper. I want to go out with a bang. I kind of like to one day just be preaching in the pulpit and keel over. And you just do the funeral right there and we just save a whole bunch of time and costs. We just do it. Just get it done. We're all here anyways. Let's just do it. I want to go out with a bang. I want to go out with fire. I want to go out with passion. I still want to love people when I'm 85 years old. I don't want to be jaded. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be mad at God and mad at the church and a grouch, not doing anything for God anymore. I don't want to go out that way. I want to go out with life in me. I want to go out feeling like I still had stuff to do. I just ran out of time." I've seen some people go out like that and they inspire me. They inspire me. I want to be one of those ones. And so I'm saying, "Lord, you got to teach me how to handle my stress. I'm learning." But you know, it's not just those in the ministry that are under stress. There are many high stress jobs out there. I read a stat this week that said 1 in 4 Canadians quit their jobs because of stress. 25%. Quit because of stress. And of course, work is just only one of the stresses that we have in life. There are many stresses outside of our work. And one of the things that I see a lot, and you do too, is that people are just plain stressed out. People are stressed these days. In fact, I think that the fast pace of the world that we live in has perhaps got people more stressed out than ever before. I wasn't around 60 years ago, but some of you that were tell me that life was a slower pace back then. And we have all this technology to help us, and yet I think in many ways it's just added to our stress. Life is just out of control for many of us. And people are stressed about all sorts of things. They're stressed about their money. They're stressed about their relationships. They're stressed about their school. They're stressed about trying to get to the next level, get ahead. They're stressed out by who's in government. They're stressed out by who's not in government. And they're stressing us all out while they fight about who should be. The world we live in is stressful. Every day brings to us the news of another tragedy, another terrorist attack, another hike in the price of gasoline. How am I going to drive my stinking car?
And of course, we got these wonderful cell phones that we're on social media 24 hours a day, and we're just bombarded with people who are angry, upset, fighting, stressed, stressful. We live in the age of CNN, constant negative news, somebody said it stands for. 24 hours a day, bombarded with it. You can't get away from it. And the effects of poorly handled stress are many. Of course, if we're not handling stress well, we're miserable. People are impatient. They lack self-control. Stressed out people don't see situations clearly, so they make dumb decisions. Life gets foggy when you're under stress. And of course, you know what happens when you're under stress. You don't sleep very well. And if you don't sleep very well, you're even worse off the next day, which adds to your stress. And it's this one big cycle. Getting stressed talking about it this morning. And this is what happens to us. Stress can be so paralyzing to the point that some people, they just plain and simply shut down. They can't do it anymore. And we know that stress tears apart relationships, tears apart families. It even causes physical illness. I don't know where I found this stat, but I read one stat that said this, that 75 to 90% of all illnesses are caused by our responses to the stresses of modern life. If that's true, that is wow. Now, not all stress is negative. All great performances, whether artistic or athletic, they're all done with a certain amount of stress. I know, you know, as a coach, I've seen some of the best performances from my athletes in the games that matter the most. And here's one of the things that I've seen. In games that matter the most, where there's the most pressure, some collapse under the pressure and almost become paralyzed by it. And others, it's like they find a level that they never normally hit. And you're like, whoa, what happened? And you see there's those that can handle their stress well. It's like they can focus better. That extra pressure gives them extra focus, extra motivation. And they do things at an extraordinary level. For whatever reason, on Monday to Friday morning, I can't get inspired to write a sermon no matter how well I want to. I keep thinking, this week, I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to get that sermon done on Tuesday, and we're just going to kind of, a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday, a little bit on Thursday. It's just going to be a nice, relaxed, easy pace. So Friday, I just kind of turn it in for the PowerPoint, and it's just stress-free. Tuesday, it's like, I can't figure out what I'm going to do. Well, I still got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll worry about this tomorrow. Can't figure out. I'll worry about this on Thursday. By Friday morning at elders' prayer, everybody, all the elders are going out for breakfast, and I'm always like, can't go for breakfast. I got a sermon I got to do by noon. I'm under stress. And somehow I sit in my office, and all of a sudden it just comes out in 3 hours. I'm just stress-free, high stress. Don't even have time to look it over. I turn it in for the PowerPoint and just sort of collapse. I'm done. I don't think this is going to be anything. And I'm discovering some of my best sermons come when I'm under the gun. Just somehow causes me to focus in a little bit better. So, not all stress is bad. Guilt can be a cause of much stress, but how many of you know without it we'd be amoral monsters? Guilt turns us to God. Condemnation's not good, but guilt causes us to confess our sins and turn from it, and the stress of guilt is relieved by God's grace and His forgiveness. So some stress and pressure is necessary. Sometimes we need to be challenged and pushed. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm under high stress, all I dream about is getting the stress off of me. And then when I finally get some of those things that are pressuring off of me and I relax for a day or two, then I'm like, I'm bored. I'm bored. I need to do something. I need some stress in my life. I need something to get me going. I can't just live stress-free because that stresses me out that I'm bored. Stress can be a powerful motivator. Here's the point. Stress in life is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Someone said this, life is stress, and so you better like it. My dad gave us that quote, life is stress, and so you better like it. And I thought about that and went, yes, life is stress. And if I don't learn how to like it, if I don't learn how to control it, I'm not going to do well in my life. I don't want to be that guy on staff who the other staff in the building take wide steps around me, don't want to be near me because Pastor Joel's always stressed. Don't want to call him because he's always under stress. Always feel like he's under pressure. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be a guy who can laugh and enjoy the things of life. I feel like God's been, you know, even as a coach, I'm such a stinking competitive person. I hate losing. And I'm so motivated to go to the next level and to push my athletes to go to the next level and want to see my daughters go to the next level. And so I'm always, I can get stressed about that. And I felt like God said to me just on the sidelines the other day, you're missing a good game here, Joel. In 4 years, your daughter's graduating high school. Enjoy what she can do, for goodness sakes. You're missing it. You're worried, well, will she get a scholarship? Will she get good enough to do it? Enjoy her talents. Enjoy your girls. You just got to have more fun in the midst of it. How many of you just want to have more fun in life? I do. And you know what? I'm convinced that God does too. And so I'm asking myself this question, how do I learn to enjoy life in the midst of all the pressure? I totally believe God wants us to. And so over these next few weeks, I'm not totally sure how long, I'm not stressed out about it. It'll be however it'll be. I want to learn with you and I want to discuss with you some ways that we can control our stress. Some of these ways are going to be more philosophical, some will be just more practical. How do we do it? Let me give you one step today. I think this is the foundation for it all. And it's this. You have to believe that God has grace for you in every situation of your life. If you have that as your foundation, if you have that as your understanding, that no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, God has grace for you. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. Jesus spoke these words. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. God wants you to have peace. I've spoken these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. This word tribulation in the Greek language, which was the language the New Testament was written in, and sometimes when you dig into these words, you get a fuller understanding of it. And this word tribulation, this is what it means. It means pressure. It means squeezing. It means stress, affliction, harassment. So when Jesus says to us, in this world you're going to have tribulation, you could replace that word stress and it wouldn't be out of line. In this world, Jesus says, you're going to have stress. Well, thanks, Jesus. But cheer up. I've overcome the world. That is a statement to us. In me, there's peace. In this world, you're going to have stress. But I have overcome the world, so cheer up. There's an invitation to us. It's a statement to us that in the midst of this stress, there's grace for you. There's grace for you. You know, some people, they think when they come to Jesus, that will be the end of stress. And Jesus never said that. Jesus never promised us stress-free life. In fact, he promised the opposite. He said, in this world, you're going to have stress. But what he did promise us was this. He promised us grace. He promised us the ability to get through it. He said, I've overcome the world. And so in me, you can overcome as well. You see, church, God is in control. God is not overwhelmed with the world. He's not sitting there going, how in the world did this guy get into power? Oh, myself, what are we going to do? Did you catch that? I thought that was pretty clever, actually. I probably heard that somewhere. Oh, myself! What are we going to do? God is not stressed. God is the Prince of Peace, the Scripture says. He's the boss when it comes to peace. He lives in peace. That's who he is. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He's in control. And from this position of power, from this position of authority, as the one who's overcome the world, God gives us an invitation. And he says to all of us who are stressed out, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are carrying these heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. He promises rest. He promises grace. And sometimes we read these things and we go, is this really possible? Well, I believe that it is. And the Apostle Paul showed us that it is. If you study his life, if you look at what he endured, you see a man that lived under great pressure, a man that lived under tremendous stress. He describes it in 2 Corinthians. It stresses me out reading it. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 39 lashes killed most people. He went through it 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And if we were to stop right there, we go, wow, the pressures that he was under, the stresses that he lived under. But I want to suggest to you that these weren't even the greatest stresses. These weren't even the greatest pressures. The pressures that come from the outside don't compare to the pressures and the things that we experience on the inside. The stresses of family, the stresses of our kids, the stresses of our relationships. Those are the things that can become crippling to us. And Paul says, apart from these external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. He said, I'm fighting for my life most days, but on top of that, when I lay down at night, I'm thinking about all these churches, these brand new churches that are just starting, and all the persecution that they're under, and are the people going to quit, and are they going to survive? And he says, and he goes, who's weak without me being weak? Who's led into sin without my intense concern? So he's going, when somebody's struggling in their life, when somebody's involved in sin, I'm carrying this in my body. Many of us can relate to that. I remember, you know, as a school teacher, I used to feel this. I've had this conversation with Andy Schmidt, our youth pastor. Andy loves our youth. He's got a burden for our youth. And here's the problem. When you have a burden, when you really care, it sucks to care. It stinks to care. If you didn't care, you wouldn't have stress. But when you care, you're stressed. And some days I would I would be in school and I loved my kids and I had a heart for my students. God gave me a heart for my students, and I would hear the things that were coming from their mouths, and I would see those kids that were hard in their hearts and away from God, and I would carry that, and it would bring such a burden on me. And sometimes at lunchtime, I'd have to hide somewhere in the building to pray just to get through the stress. And I remember saying to my mom, I wish I could just turn off the care switch. And I've heard Andy say the same thing to me. I wish I could just stop caring. Guess what? You care. And this is what Paul was saying. I care. I love these churches. The burden of it, when somebody's struggling, I feel it. When you read this, you can feel the burdens that he carries, and you would expect him to be burnt out, miserable. But that is not the tone in Paul's letters. In fact, Paul describes for us how he discovered grace and actually learned how to walk as an overcomer. The very next chapter after this description, Paul continues, and he shows us how he was able to control all this stress. He begins by talking about how God had given him these incredible revelations. And he says, and because of these surpassing great revelations, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. What was Paul saying? God, I'm stressed. These things are causing me stress. Take it away from me. Pleaded. And here was God's answer. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul goes on to say, so I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Really, Paul? What? I delight in these things, he said. Because, he said, I have learned that when I am weak, I'm actually strong. I've learned something. You know, scholars would tell us that they don't believe it was just like 3 prayers that Paul prayed. Lord, take this away from me. God, take this away from me, I beg you. Most scholars believe it was 3 seasons of intense prayer and fasting, saying, God, under the stress, God, help me. Take this away from me. Relieve me of this burden. And God's answer to Paul was not to take the stress away. His answer to Paul was, hey, Paul, guess what? I have grace for you in this situation. And in fact, this situation is powerful in your life because this situation shows you, you can't do it on your own. And if you allow me to do it, you're going to see a power that goes so beyond what you can ever do. And Paul, he begins to get this understanding, and he says, I've learned to actually rejoice in my afflictions, to rejoice in the things that cause me stress, to delight in my pressure, because every time I get them, I just step into the grace of God. I turn them all over to God. I step out of the way and say, it's your turn, God. And when it's God's turn, things happen. And somebody said this to me one day, when you work, God rests. But when you rest, God works. When you rest, God works. I think there's a lot of truth in that. And this revelation was a game changer for Paul. It was a lesson that God gave me in Africa last year. Most of you know that we have a ministry in this church called Lift 42 Ministries, which is an evangelistic ministry doing crusade evangelism so far in Africa, one day in other parts of the world, by the grace of God. It's a ministry where we preach to thousands of people, and it's a dream come true, something God told me I was going to do 20 years ago, and it's become a reality and growing into this ministry here in Harvest City Church. But with success comes more stress. There was the stress of like, I don't think I can do this, and then we did it and it went well. And that brought more stress. Sometimes success brings more stress because there's greater expectations now. And this last time I felt those expectations. We've got these big teams. I got my mom and dad there for the first time, and I've told them how good it's been, and I want them to see that it's good. And now they throw parades when you come into the town. And your poster, my picture's plastered all over the city. And there's these expectations. The evangelist is here. So something's going to happen. Because great things happened last year. We can only imagine what's going to happen this year. I felt all those expectations. And that first night, you've heard me share it before, but some of you haven't. But I'm saying it again because it's so relevant to this message. We had this amazing invitation of salvation where the altar was packed with people coming to Christ. Biggest response I've ever seen at the gospel. We had people coming up on a stage testifying that they had been healed of various things. But I got to tell you that even though the response was great, I thought it could have been better. And though there was people testifying of giving healings, I'm like, well, that's nice. Somebody's back got healed. How do we really know? The cynical side of me is going on. And it's like, we got blind people here. We got people who are mute. We got people who are lame. And it's nice we got 10 people saying their back's healed and their arms good. But it's not good enough. It's not. I felt like we were failing. I said to Angela that night, I said, why did I have the biggest response at the altar I've ever had, and I feel like a total failure? And we were talking with our team, and just the need was so overwhelming. I've never seen so many mute people, and we were weeping. My mom cried herself to sleep that night. Just the need. I mean, we were talking. We're trying not to minimize the miracles that happened, but going, there's so much greater need. We need more power. And I went to bed feeling like I don't have the power. I don't have the anointing for this. I don't have the grace for this. I'm failing. And the next day I'm burdened with the pressure, and I'm in my bed trying to sleep and trying to rest up before the event. Our team's gone ahead. Angela will tell you I'm not a lot of fun to be around the day of the crusade because I'm high stress. And I'm laying in my bed, I'm half asleep, I still don't know if I was asleep or just in a foggy state, but I heard God say to me in my bed, Joel, get out of my way and I'll do the miracles. And when that thought went into my brain, a bolt of electricity went through my body, it was like, zzz, and I sat right up in my bed and I looked around, I was thinking Angela was still there, she wasn't, she'd gone on ahead. Did anybody see me, hear me? What was that? Was that? And I'm like, God, did you just speak to me? And I knew God had spoken to me. And you say, what did he mean by that? Get out of the way. And I felt like this is exactly what Paul was saying. That God was saying to me, you are trying so hard, Joel. You are putting so much pressure on yourself. You are striving to do the impossible, but you can't do the impossible. And as long as you keep trying to do it, I can't do it. So get out of my way, trust me, and watch me do it. And something shifted on the inside of me. And we drove to the meeting, and it was a downpour. I've never seen rain like that at one of our meetings. And we prayed, and usually when it's rained and we pray, God takes the rain away. This time he didn't take the rain away. He just opened the tap a little wider. And it was torrential. And people were leaving, and people were flooding underneath the big tent that we had on the side to get out of the rain. Where people are trying to blow dry out speakers with hair dryers, literally, holding tarps up over the band. They're getting drenched. And I'm standing underneath this big tent off to the side with 1,000, 1,500 people, something, all crammed in there. I got kids all around me, people all around me. You know, people like to be near the evangelist sometimes, and they're just staring at me and smiling at me, and normally that kind of stuff would have just made me uncomfortable. Normally I'd have been high stress. I don't like to be around people. I like to walk and hide in the dark behind the stage and just kind of come out. I just don't want to be talked to. I'm just stressed in the zone, maybe praying, petitioning, begging. But this time I enjoyed the whole thing. I thought, this is hilarious. I was taking pictures of it. I thought, this is a riot. People are holding chairs over their head. I got up to preach. Most of my crowd is where I can't even see them. The rest of my crowd is holding chairs over their head. It was bizarre. It was so fun. And I would have normally been under high stress, but I had decided I was going to get out of the way. I was going to trust God. Couldn't do it anyways. God, if you want 10,000, 5,000, 20,000, it's really your problem. I'm just going to do what I can do, and whoosh, your turn now. And that day when I preached, there was grace. And people ran to the altar to get saved. I didn't pray any different. Same prayers. But something was different. On the outside, you would have thought everything was the same. But on the inside, I was a different person. I was in rest. And when I rested, God worked. Man, did we see a breakthrough that night. We saw demons screaming as they were leaving people. We saw the sick healed like I've never seen the sick healed. We saw the mute speak. We saw the lame walk. We saw the blind open over the coming days. I just needed to get out of the way. And I hear God saying that to me over and over these days. Joel, get out of the stinking way. Paul said this, I'm almost done. He said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. He said this to the Philippians, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. But I have learned the secret, Paul says. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or whether I'm living in want. What's the secret, Paul? Here it is. I can do all things. How? Through Christ who gives me strength. What's Paul saying? I learned that there is grace for every situation, whether I have everything or whether I have nothing. In every situation, there is grace for me. I heard God say to me when I pleaded with him 3 times that there was grace for me. And I've learned that there's grace for me. I've learned that when I'm weak, it's actually a great thing because God's grace is free to go to work. He said to those Corinthians, he said, we're afflicted in every way. He must be in trouble. Nope. But not crushed. Perplexed. Scratching my head lots of days. Not sure what to do. But I'm not despairing. Persecuted. But never forsaken. Struck down. But I'm still breathing. I'm still here. By the grace of God. I'm still here. You see, Paul was admitting that his life was full of stress, but it wasn't controlling him. He was winning in life. He was living in a place of rest. He had learned to live in the grace of God. I love how he said, I learned to be content. I don't think he got it right every time. I think maybe early on in the ministry, he wasn't so successful. but he learned, right? We get this, God, take it away from me. No, Paul, there's grace for you. And he learned how to live in this place of grace. And this is my prayer for myself and for you. God, teach us how to live in the grace that's available for us. Church, this is a simple, simple message. But when I listened to my dad last Friday share what he had to share on this topic, the biggest takeaway that I got is what I'm sharing from you today. I sat there in my chair and went, that's a relief to know that I'm going to make it. Because sometimes I go, if I'm this stressed at 43, what am I going to be at 63? I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it for 20 more years. And it was a relief to sit there in my chair and go and hear God say to me, you can do it. Because there's grace. There's amazing grace for every situation. Come to me. This is what God is saying to us this morning. Are you stressed about your children? God's saying to you, come to me. I got grace for you. Stressed about how you're going to eat? I got grace for you. Stressed about your job? I got grace for you. Stressed about your marriage? I got grace for you. Fill in the blank. God says, I got grace for you. Church, that's a game changer. I can do all things. Now, we're going to talk about some other practical things, but this is the foundation that we got to live our life on. And my prayer is this, God, if there's grace for me, then I want it.